It's been a long time. It's been a long time, people. I should not have left you without some good content. Welcome to Chima Chance Foot. This is, of course, your host, Chima. We got to talk about Liverpool. Okay, so, and breathe. Okay, so let's see. Since we've chatted last, we have scraped past Burnley with a nice Fabinho goal, clean sheet. And then we went to the San Siro, Inter Milan. You know, it's funny. People were saying that's not Liverpool's best game. We didn't play all that well, yada, yada, yada. We didn't play well. But the mark of a championship team, if you know about football, you know the mark of a championship team is not playing well and grinding out results and still winning. You're not going to play flawless football over a 38-game Premier League season, and then you add in, I don't know, 12 Champions League games and then 10 League Cup, 10 FA Cup games, depending on how far you go. It's a lot of football to play. At the end of the day, the important thing is the result. So 2-0, great away win in Europe. And then all of a sudden, we have the proposition of Norwich City Football Club. And I'm like, listen, I've been around for a while, right? I remember the Luis Suarez terror show that he inflicted on Norwich FC, 3 hat tricks, which no other Premier League player has ever done, and I probably will never do again. So I was fully expecting 2, 3, maybe 4 at Norwich, or, you know, at Anfield against Norwich, no problem. That wasn't the case. Norwich came out the gate and they started really getting at us. A couple changes to the lineup. Both Robertson and Trent were rested. And that gave me a little bit of, you know how you're like, don't love that. It gave you a little bit of pause. But it's Norwich. We're at home. We'll figure it out. In steps Kostas Tsimikas, who was a beast all game. I really, really like Kostas Tsimikas. There was one point, I'll get to that later. But, you know, he exudes leadership everywhere on the field, and he's tricky. You know, he knows how to beat a man. Andy Robertson is kind of a square peg in a round hole when it comes to situations where he needs to shoot or score a goal. His foot is made for more crossing, but Tsimikas, he knows how to get inside of his defender, cut inside a little bit. He knows how to set up a 1-2. He's aggressive. I really like him as a player. Joe Gomez. Everybody remembers, you know, what was it, 18-19, where it was Gomez and Van Dijk for game after game after game in Europe, domestically, everything. But Joe Gomez used to play right back, maybe back in the day, and Jurgen decided it was a good idea for him to play right back again this game. So he puts him in, and I didn't like the game by Joe Gomez today, but it's so hard to judge someone who's been out for the better part of a year with several injuries, and he's played out of position. So it's hard to say I didn't like the performance, but I can say it because if you start at right back for Liverpool Football Club, despite the circumstances, I still need you to perform. Like, I understand, but I need you to perform. And look at me talking like I'm a GM. You know, I need you to do this. But there were a couple of times where I just felt like, man, Joe Gomez, because Liverpool's system still works in the same way. Joe Gomez is in the positions that Trent is in. He gets into that, you know, at the top corner of the box situation, but he doesn't have the offensive capabilities that Trent does. So he had to then check the ball inside or lay the ball off to Mo Salah. And, you know, Mo Salah doesn't necessarily want to always beat a player, particularly when Trent's at the top of the box. Mo Salah will either go down the line for a ball or cut in or just whatever, you know. He doesn't really expect to get it that there, but Joe Gomez is not going to cross it the way Trent will. So Joe Gomez always has to kind of play the pass, the easier pass, and it just blunted our attack a couple of times. There were also a couple of times where, right before we scored, actually, he was just a bit ponderous on the ball. Like, he escaped that, but if he gets the ball pinched, I believe it was Billy Gilmore and another midfielder, he just does enough to get by there. If he gets the ball taken right there, we're in trouble. So I think that Joe Gomez is going to need a couple more games before I judge him, but he had a decent game at times, but overall, just a bit under average for me. We'll talk a little bit more about the defense. Virgil van Dijk was Virgil, playing well, frustrated. Joel Matip just seemed off the boil today. He obviously is at fault for the goal. He kind of sticks a lazy leg out and it cuts in. But I had this in my notes to talk about. For that first goal, you see several people, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Joe Gomez, and eventually Joel Matip, all of them kind of position themselves to defend, but none of them go and press the ball. None of them go and press the ball. Before they score, there was another effort that Tsimikas has to play behind because it was going to reach the back post. And he yells, "Come, like, what the hell are we doing? Come on. Like, why are we allowing such opportunities?" Because at the end of the day, if I press you, obviously in the box, you can't get too close to him, but he's at the top of the box. He's outside of the area. Go and confront him. Don't give him the shot and assume you're going to block it, because that's what Joel Matip did. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Gomez, Matip, they were all a bit soft in their approach. And I understand you don't think he's going to score from there all the way at the top of the box, but be aggressive. Go stop the ball. Virgil does it as well sometimes. But those gentlemen that I just mentioned, very, very casual. Rashica from Norwich dribbles, and he says, you know what, I might as well have one. The ball, because Joel Matip is, let's say, like about 5 feet away, the shot gets blocked, and the ball actually is heading towards an area in Allison's mind where Allison's going to make a fairly comfortable save, right? Allison is there to make that save. But because Joel Matip dangles, you know, a bit of a lazy leg out and the ball kind of redirects, it now goes over his leg into the other corner, and we're scored on. And everybody's like, what the hell? But you know what? Norwich is playing well. We needed that shock to get us in gear. We needed that because Norwich had been playing well that first half and a little bit over in this build into the second half, and they deserve their goal. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at it like, what the hell is this? Wouldn't this be a story, right? We lose to Norwich at home despite everything going on, all the favorable conditions going on for us to win it. You know, we lose. But we end up really just, Anfield starts finally rocking. Anfield's quiet again. I know it's not always going to sound like a big European night, but let's get a consistent sound going. You know, you go over to Spurs, loud all the time. There's a bunch of smaller, if you go to a ground like Villa, loud all the time. You know, it doesn't have to be the bigger clubs. And, you know, I wish that Anfield gave a more consistent atmosphere. And I know that we have one of the best in the world, right? And rival fans, they don't like it, but it's true. But we only show it on important games. Maybe we should show it more regularly to help the team out. Because after they scored, we started to, Anfield came to life a little bit and got behind the team, which they clearly needed. That moment that I spoke about, Joe Gomez is able to basically keep the ball for a quick second after being pressured. He got lucky, I'll be honest, right on the halfway line by two Norwich players. He ends up feeding that ball wide. Kostas Tsimikas gets a wonderful header into the box. And Sadio Mane, who, you know, wasn't great before this, springs into life and scores. And I think that goal will be good. Him and Mo have looked tired, obviously, coming back from African Cup of Nations. They've looked tired. They've looked ragged. The difference is Mo has continued to score, and Sadio hasn't been able to. But I'm so happy he finds the net here. Kostas Tsimikas, a very, very smart header into Sadio Mane, who overhead bicycle kick scores 1-1. And then we're like, okay, now we're going to do these people. Like now we're going to, we kind of just remembered it's Norwich, man. You know, it's Norwich. You just need to beat them. About 2 minutes later, Alisson Becker, best keeper in the world, gets his, I mean, he has more assists than people who are bought for hundreds of millions of pounds for other teams, you know, or 50 or 60 or 70 millions of pounds for other teams. He has more assists than certain people. We won't name names, but, you know, they know who they are. Incredible vision. I mean, he, in my opinion, has the best ball distribution of any keeper in the world. Drops it onto Mo Salah from his goal, reminiscent to Manchester United when Dan James was doing his best to stop him. If you know, you know. And Mo Salah does a good job to just, Angus Gunn being a hero, the goalkeeper comes out, and then he realizes this isn't what you want. You don't want to be at the top of the box with Mo Salah. So his ankles immediately turn to jello, and he kind of falls a little bit, tries to. Mo Salah gives him and his two defenders the run, and then flicks it back, kind of does a mini Cruyff turn, and then kind of steers it into the empty net after giving everyone the eyes that it was going into the other corner. Really brilliant play. 150 goals for Mo Salah. You know, people are going out of their way to find out reasons why Mo Salah isn't this and he isn't that. But I'll tell you this, if you're listening to this, Mo Salah is the best player in the world. And if you're a fan of another team and you happen to listen to this, he's better than any player on your team. You know, at the end of the day, 150 Premier League goals. You know, I don't know what else he has to do. He has 25 goals in all competitions this year. It's just February. Is he going to give us another 40-goal season? He might. It's just getting harder and harder to deny the obvious greatness of what Mo Salah is doing. That's if you're objective. That's if you like good football. That's if you like goals, right? You know, maybe he's not the most flashy player. People like Rabonas and stepovers and flicks. I like that type of stuff too. But you know what else I like? Listen, 150 goals. Point out any player who has 150 goals in the Premier League who's Mo Salah's age. You can't. You can't even point out any other player with 150 goals in the Premier League. Maybe Harry Kane. I don't know. You tell me. You know, somebody look up how many goals Harry Kane has. But my point is, we're witnessing a generational talent. Mo Salah is one of the greatest Premier League players of all time. People tried to compare him to Eden Hazard. Don't compare Eden Hazard to Mo Salah. Okay? I'm sorry. Don't compare him. Eden Hazard, amazing player. He's very good. Don't compare this guy. This guy is different gravy. He's in a different class. You know, it was a debate. Neymar, Gareth Bale, or Mo Salah. Give me Mo Salah. Neymar and Gareth Bale, while they might have been more flashy and more technical and done more tricks, Mo Salah gives you 25 goals a season for five seasons in a row. I'm sorry. Gareth Bale spent half of his career on the treatment table. I'm sorry. Neymar was never lived up to the player everybody thought he could be coming from Santos as a kid. You just have to be honest with yourself. Mo Salah has done it time after time after time, and he's going to add at least one trophy to his repertoire this year. Will it be the PFA Player of the Year again? It's probably going to be the Golden Boot. It might be the Premier League. It might be the Champions League. It might be a domestic cup. You know, so he has the silverware. What more do you want from a player like that? So shout out to Mo Salah, balling out. Big shout to Roberto Firmino as well. He's now past the Champions League goals of Ronaldinho in the Champions League as well. So the players are breaking records almost every time they step on the pitch. Incredible. Talk about the midfield. Henderson, great game by him. People were kind of giving him crap as they do with Jordan Henderson at least every couple months. And I'll admit he hasn't been that great at times this year, but we're better when he's on the pitch. Oxlade-Chamberlain had an okay game, ran around a lot, but when it comes to that final cross, when it comes to that final ball, he just can't deliver it consistently enough, and he was duly replaced. The midfield did what it had to do. Naby Keita was started as well. I don't like the Keita-Oxlade-Henderson midfield. It's really strange. It's really, like, it just doesn't work for me. Naby Keita was indifferent. A lot of running around, no end product. So the midfield wasn't really what we need, honestly. It was okay at times, did its job at times, but I was disappointed in Ox and Naby as well. Not enough from them. Henderson obviously has, for the third goal, an incredible through ball. Nobody's going to talk about that, right? A 30-yard through ball to Luis Diaz, who expertly controls the ball and chips it over Angus Gunn. And it's one of those chips where the ball doesn't land until it's already crossed the line. And now Luis Diaz is off the score sheet. Anfield's going crazy, 3-1. And I'm like, man, this guy is a serious player. There were several times where, you know, he might have done a little too much, or maybe he didn't pick the perfect pass. But, man, this guy, Luis Diaz, is a really serious player. And I love the fact that he's on our team. So he's off the score sheet. Once again, an amazing ball from Jordan Henderson. And all of a sudden, I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, Man City losing to Tottenham. Shout out to Conte. Tottenham just can beat City. It's their bogey team. You know, they just don't know what to do with Spurs. Shout out to Spurs, you know. But that win, digging deep, was imperative, because now all of a sudden we have Chelsea in the League Cup final, and I think we're going to beat Chelsea. I'm not impressed with them. You know, they got a 90th minute winner against Crystal Palace. I think we can beat them. I think we're a better team than them. It would be great to pick up early silverware as well. winning begets more winning, right? You have to understand how, for a long time, Liverpool forgot how it felt to lift trophies, and we were lost, just like Arsenal is. They're slowly starting to recover that desire to be a big club, that desire to be great. Chelsea, despite being, you know, pretty kind of an artificial club, they win trophies, and that's what matters. And that's what they build their history off of, right? So Liverpool have to go out there, do what they got to do, bring a trophy home. We haven't won a domestic cup in, like, since 2012, I believe. Jurgen doesn't really value them. Brendan couldn't win them. Roy couldn't win much of anything. So none of the managers that we've had have been able to win them or really care about the cups. Jurgen's famous for playing the kids. But I think at this point, you get silverware and you simply win the games in front of you. That's all you could do. We can't worry about what Manchester City is going to do. We simply have to keep balling, keep winning. And I think that with the addition of Luis Diaz, Thiago coming back healthy, I was watching Big Six, and Big Six is a show on YouTube where it's the traditional Big Six clubs and City. And they all kind of debate, a fan from each club. And it was a really bizarre take from the Arsenal fan. He said that Turkish has been, his name is Turkish. He said that Thiago has been as big as a flop as Jack Grealish has been this year. And I'm like, you know what? That's a lazy opinion of somebody who doesn't watch Thiago. Because once Thiago came on, I forgot to mention Thiago was substituted on when Naby and Ox came off, that midfield switch up. Night and day, Thiago has passes that they get there before you get there. You know, the pass has to wait on you. It's so amazing. His ability to move with the ball as well is really underrated. You know, he brings the number six, the low socks. The guy's a baller, you know, and I am delighted he's at Liverpool, and I'm happy he's healthy again. Divock Origi also came on late, and that was great. He didn't score, but he held the ball up so well, and that's what you need sometimes. I kick it long to you, just hold it up, right? We'll get there. Just don't let the ball bounce off you. Keep possession. Great Liverpool win. Like I said, we rolled out 3-1 winners. Chelsea ended up winning. Manchester United are currently winning against Leeds right now. Who knows how that game will end, but I believe they'll win too. So you got to keep pushing the pace. You got to keep winning. So now that gap, plus a game in hand and us playing them, it's looking good. So up the Reds, you know, that's it. That's it. Got to love you and leave you. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. You know, shout out to Liverpool. We're on the move, and League Cup champions soon come. Yeah. All right, take care of yourselves, take care of one another. This is Chima for Chima Chats Foot, and I'm out.